Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's guest is the one and only Adam Doherty, aka Creature Kid, who's been doing sculpting and makeup effects in the business for over a decade now. He's worked on films like The Predator, It Chapter One, the Creepshow TV series, and a bunch more. And in the past few years, he opened up his own shop and worked on my favorite film of last year, Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls. As well as he's been doing a ton of work with the YouTuber Meat Canyon. But before we dive into that, I just want to remind you guys to go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so the free way by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you would like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You'll get some stickers in the mail, a shout out in a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So with all that being said, thanks again for listening, and let's get into this week's episode.
Awesome. Cool, Rome. I got your posters.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I actually just added The Evil Dead. We went to Monster Mania this past weekend and met Sam Raimi. So I was
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was a fucking bucket list item checked off for sure. I heard, I listened to your episode of Do You Like Scary Movies, which I'm going to shout out, you know, kind of going into the episode anyways, where you said that you got to meet Sam Raimi real quick and it was like fucking awesome for you. So I'm like right there with you. It was like one of those moments.
It was at a screener test of a movie he produced. What was it called? Like Primal or something? It was like Crawl. An alligator flood movie.
Yeah, Crawl. It was
Crawl. That's it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, you know, we were all submitting our stuff. And I was like, this movie sucked. What do you guys think? And then I go, oh, my God, he's here. And he was in the lobby, like talking to the director and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't interrupt him. And then a random dude was like, you got to do it. When are you ever going to have another chance? And I was like, hey, you're right. Just got to say hi, shake his hand. It's the only time I ever met him. But man, it's the greatest. I mean, it's like the ultimate story, right? Like you make a horror movie with your friends and then it just blows up your career. So yeah. Cool.
No doubt for sure. Him and I love listening to him and Bruce Campbell do like commentaries because it's literally like two buddies just literally talking during a movie and then telling you great stories. Hell yeah, man. I appreciate you for coming on the show. Do you have any questions or anything for me before we jump in? Or
no, not really.
Oh, yeah.
I'm half awake. We're snowed in today here. What state are you in?
I'm actually all the way in North Carolina. I just went with Pacific because I figured you might be on that side of the, North, you know, Carolina. That's like where a lot of people are based out of. So
I'm Colorado. We just had a big old blizzard. So I'm just stuck here in the shop by myself for the day.
No, I feel you. And every time we don't get snow often, but when it snows here, that's one of my sleepy days. Like I just like to chill and
dude, it's totally what it is. I was like, I'm gonna get so much work done, and I'm just sitting here like just in my pajamas, drinking coffee, just like watching TV and like kind of sculpting. Nice day, good day to talk.
Hell yeah! But like I said before, we like jump straight in. I didn't want to shout out, you know, the episode you did with Do You Like Scary Movies? Because usually, sometimes I'll ask about people's like intro into like, you know, getting into sculpting and like this and that. But because you kind of went over it with those guys, I just would rather shout out that episode instead of, you know, making you repeat all that stuff again and whatnot. But I do kind of like to ask about, you know, just more about your current stuff. And of course, as you can see in the background, I got Onyx, the Fortuitous, and the Talisman of Souls. That was my favorite movie of 2023. And I'm not even joking. If you listen to our top 10 episode that we did, it was my favorite movie. And, you know, I recorded that, you know, a couple months before even asking you to be on. So
that's awesome. That's so cool.
Hell yeah. No, I just loved it. You know, like, your practical effects were a part of that. You know, what kind of led to you, you know, meeting up with Andrew? And then, you know, how was it taking on, you know, your first gig as, you know, the lead guy in the studio?
Well, it was, I don't know, it's just a bunch of like random things that just kind of lined up. I had, you know, COVID hit. I was an employee at like KMB at the time or something.
Hell yeah.
During that. And I was just, you know, we were locked up for a year in my apartment in LA, trying to pay rent, trying to do like art things, I was making little like 3D printed figurines that I'd paint in my apartment and ship out and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was finally just like, this sucks. Why am I doing this? Like, I'm just struggling to pay rent and it's like not working. And you know, it just wasn't like the industry just kind of wasn't really like what I was hoping it would be as a kid. You know, you're not sitting here working on Jurassic Park and Terminator 2 every day.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of kind of lame stuff. And like a lot of it doesn't end up in the movie. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of, I was kind of like, I'm over it. My mom lives in Colorado. She was by herself. And it was kind of like, it's, you know, kind of that time to go back home. And, you know, my friends are here and stuff. So I packed up and moved, and I was kind of calling it quits. I was kind of like, you know, maybe looking, I was looking at houses on the East Coast and kind of like, you know, I just love making art. It'd just be fun to just have like a barn attached to a house that I just go and make stuff for fun when I feel like it. And I just kind of just chill out for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
When I was in Colorado, like shortly after, I was kind of like, you know, still making some stuff just to bring some money in. And then Andrew hit me up and was, we had actually met at a Monster Palooza years and years ago. And he just enjoyed my work and thought it was cool. And he came at me with, I think the Kickstarter had already been going, but it was just to come up with some designs for Beefy Bad Boy in the script. He had actually purchased one of my pumpkin men, this little pumpkin guy I make. And he was kind of like, it's very vibey with what I was picturing Beefy to be. And he's like, you want to do some sketches? You want to design that character? And I was like, send me over the script. I'll read it and stuff. And I was just like, you know, what are you going to do with like, what are you pitching as far as like, what are you thinking for the practical stuff? And he was kind of running down like, oh, the ghouls, you know, I was thinking makeups. Abaddon, I really want like a guy in a suit, kind of like Pumpkinhead or something. Beefy Bad Boy would be the only kind of puppety like cartoon character.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know, man, you know, like when's name a zombie makeup that's like been incredible in the past, you know, 15 years. That's just not, you know, Walking Dead or something we've seen before. In my opinion, zombies are always, you could spot a makeup a mile away. It always just looks like a guy with makeup on or something, and it always drives me nuts. And my favorite zombies in movies are always like Return of the Living Dead, the corpse on the table, or you know, my big one is Army of Darkness, where it's the torso skeletons talking and kind of making jokes and stuff. And I'm like, that's the greatest thing ever. Why doesn't anyone ever do that? And I was telling him that, and I was talking about Abaddon, a guy in a suit. And I was like, I had done some movies where it's a big devil that's a guy in a suit, and it's always kind of just, it's kind of just chunky and looks like a guy in a suit. I don't know, there's just something. I was really just pitching the puppets. It just sounded fun.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you want a bit on the movie? You just want to do it all? And I was like, I mean, I had nothing to do. I was just sitting at home. So yeah, actually just, I mean, we would sit there and have hours and hour long conversations about like what the characters, like what the creatures would do, you know, the demon in the box, you know, that one was also, he was pitching a freaking makeup, like a guy's face in a box with like makeup around it. And I was like, nah, it's just going to look creepy. It's going to look like a guy's face in a box. You know,
be Jambi from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And, you know, that's an aesthetic, but I was trying to pitch something different because it's something I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And I put a bid together, you know, kind of, and he was like, you could do it. And then I had to scramble around and figure out, okay, what do I do? I was fortunate enough to find a few local artists. I brought some out from LA that came here for a little bit. We did the first 2 months of the build in my garage, my mom's garage, actually. I was sculpting in there all night, and then we were molding all morning in the summer, casting silicones in the basement because it was too hot outside. And then to start Abaddon, which I had talked Andrew into doing a giant puppet, we had to get a shop space and start, you know, like bringing in giant blocks of styrofoam and like actually constructing a shop. I got really lucky. A local fabric company was going out of business while I was about to move into the shop, and they had the shelving and the giant work tables and like the refrigerator and everything to start a foundation of a workshop. So, and it was like super cheap. So we just had a giant U-Haul. I bought out like, you know, I was buying like giant work tables for $20 a piece. It was bananas. And we just fully built the shop within like a week for us to start blasting out the ghouls and Abaddon and stuff. And then it ended up being like Abaddon. I mean, everything ended up being, it was about a year of work that we put into that.
Yeah.
Because production was last like taking a little longer and stuff. And it was, you know, we were trying to get as much time as possible because I was working, you know, with just a few people and a pretty small budget for the build. So it was a lot of just, you know, really late nights and putting everything I had into getting this done. And then it was kind of just starting to make sense. I was like, you know, the stuff we're doing here is pretty interesting looking and different. And, you know, part of what made it really cool is that we were able to share the process as we were building.
Yeah.
To start establishing the shop and like show what we're capable of doing here at a micro budget and not in LA.
Yeah.
And it just started slowly like building and turning into like a lot of people were just really curious to see what the final outcome would be and what would happen with it all, and followed along with the journey of the building of these creatures to then be able to go to a theater and see it. It was the coolest thing. And from that, I was just like, oh, I think a shop in Colorado would work. Like, it seems like it's working. I don't know. Really interesting. And being a shop owner's, you know, it's hard, but I could always just, you know, go back and get that barn in the middle of the woods and make stuff later. You know, I got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
It just sounded fun and challenging and learning new stuff. And then finally being able to like make the practical effects that I always wanted to do getting into the industry, that the movies just don't come, you know, or the budgets are too low that a big shop cannot take it on or has to do it very cheap and affordable because of the overhead of a shop that's been around from the 80s versus a shop trying to prove and do the stuff that we loved in Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness and, you know, Labyrinth and stuff.
Yeah.
Without having to have $1 million budget to make that kind of stuff. So it's challenging, but it's really cool. I don't know. I'm pretty pumped.
Oh yeah.
I'm really proud of the Onyx work. Really proud of that. It's my ultimate achievement so far on that one.
Yeah, like I said, that was one of the things that really made me enjoy the film. You know, it kind of felt like a more family-friendly Freaked. I don't know if you ever saw that with Alex Winter.
I was just talking about Freaked. I was just talking about it yesterday.
I love that movie so much.
I love the Rastafarian eyeballs. The Yes.
Uzis.
Just talking about those and how ridiculous that stuff was. Screaming Mad George and like Norman Cabrera's sculptures on that thing were incredible.
Yeah.
Such a weird movie that no one's ever, I was telling everybody at work and they're like, I've never seen it. And I was trying to find it online. It's not even online still. It drives me nuts.
YouTube.
So I was like, there's
a good rip on YouTube.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. I'll link it to you. Yeah. When we get off of this, I'll send it to you.
No, I love that movie.
I have it saved because I watch it often. It's one of those movies that I saw when I was a kid. And like, you know, you always have these memories that you're like, what was that fucking movie? And then one day,
it's like a dream.
Yeah. And then one day I finally found it and I was like, God damn it. There it is. And so I made my wife watch it.
Shoe. I love the show. Just the stop motion in it too. It's just, it's got a little bit of everything in it, right? Killer makeup, puppetry, stop motion, right?
Yep.
There's beautiful matte paintings of like the giant jungle and stuff. It's so awesome.
No, and then there's so many makeup effects artists that like worked on it. Like you said, the two, Norman Cabrera, as well as Screaming Mad George. And I think Bill Corso also worked on it as well.
Yeah,
so.
Bill Corso was the makeup and stuff on Alex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super awesome stuff.
No, that whole movie is super fun. And that's one thing I like about it, though. And like one thing that like you kind of did with, you know, like the bright, vibrant colors on the makeup and stuff. Not everything's, you know, just your typical werewolf and your typical this and that. And every time I would think about that movie, I think about the how many milkmen is too many milkmen.
But, Mr. T is the bearded woman.
Yeah.
So stupid. Yeah, I mean, that one was really pushing the like Ed Roth style of art, right? The kind of Rat Finky look.
Yeah.
Which I try to do. I do some of that, not quite on the nose as like a it looks like a Rat Fink character or something.
Yeah.
But I love exploring the colors, real vivid colors. I'm really into. You don't see that hardly ever, like especially with zombies or you know demons. You never see demons, colorful demons in movies. Because it's always studios saying we want, you know, the typical video game designs, you know, the devil's like cracky lava skin that's like glowing or something, right? Or like a solid black figure or things like that, right? Kind of the dumb, not so creative stuff.
Yeah.
That like I was pitching for Onyx, the box demon, I was like, I kept trying to push it. Like at one point I was like, what if Abaddon had like leopard print loincloth? And he went for it for a minute, but then we lost it. We lost it later. But for the box demon, I was like, what if he's rainbow? Like it's like all the colors and he has feathers and he sneezes glitter. It's the most like crazy, vibrant, weird, trippy thing. And he let me do it. So that was my like I've always wanted to do a rainbow colored creature. And even the stuff we're doing right now is an awesome creature we're doing that's like neon colors with crazy hair and really fun designs. That's what makes it more fun to me is less of the realistic stuff and more of the fantasy realm and things like that.
Fuck yeah. Now, before moving on from Onyx completely, I do want to ask, you know, while we were talking about Abaddon, how many people did it take to man that thing, you know, just to get it moving around and, you know, shoot the scenes that you needed?
Well, there was one performer inside Abaddon. Ryan is our creature performer who was in that. And that's there's a giant panel in his back that opens up. And our puppeteer was inside and he was just steering the head like a giant steering wheel and also puppeteering the mouth like a paddle. And then we had two puppeteers doing eyeball movements and eyeball blinks on the side. And it was only his head that was moving. He was meant to just be like a static figure and just speak his lines because you only see him through the window of the beefy joint. But yeah, but that's one of my favorite scenes is the reveal of him in the window. And you see this, like his eyes open up and the steam's coming out of his mouth. It's the coolest thing.
Oh yeah. And of course, Ralph Ineson doing the voice is just cherry on top.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah, that was wild.
No, I love Ralph. He's a great guy. I was actually setting him up to be on the podcast, and then he had surgery, and then after that, I kind of like lost touch with him. So yeah,
he was amazing in the Green Knight.
Yeah, no, and then I was never into Game of Thrones, but I've been a fan, you know, since The Witch. Of course, you know that's one that I really like. One of the more like elevated horror, I say in quotes.
I love that. Yeah, the makeup in the Green Knight was pretty incredible, though. I do love. Was that him in the makeup? Do you know?
No, I have no clue. I've definitely, I don't know though. He's a tall guy, so I would definitely, it could be, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking. It doesn't look anything like him, but maybe it's just the heavy prosthetics.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, hell yeah. Then, of course, being a fan of Onyx, you know, in that humor, I'm also a fan of Meat Canyon, who you did Winslow XP for. What ended up leading to, you know, you doing that for him and, you know, the kind of partnership there? You guys have done a few videos together, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Hunter is the coolest dude.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He has the craziest ideas. So funny. Yeah, we did Winslow. I mean, I think he just saw, you know, he's a YouTuber. He saw my Grunkle Stan. Everyone freaking has seen my Grunkle Stan video. It's like what blew up my YouTube channel. That was my COVID. I wrapped that up during COVID. And I just like slapped together a video in a day and threw it up on YouTube. And I went from like 1,000 subscribers to like 300,000, like 250,000 or something stupid.
Yeah.
And that kind of made COVID a little bit more interesting because it was kind of right in the beginning. And I was so like anti-commercials and stuff because I was like, I don't want to put advertisements on my art. That's the dumbest thing ever. And then all my friends are like, dude, do you realize how much money you could be making? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't care about it. I don't want that. I don't want commercials. That's stupid. And then someone told me the numbers and I was like, oh, shoot, I should have commercials.
Yeah.
So now I monetize it, but I'm very against it. But he just saw that and he wanted a character of his. You know, I kind of for a bit there am just the hyper realistic cartoon guy, which is cool because I've done a few pieces. But and he just wanted his character, Cats from Monster Lab, as just a realistic figure. And I did like a little baby Uno and like some accessories and stuff, real clothing, just as like a fine art piece, you know. And then it was, you know, I've done a couple gags for him. You know, there's a couple other things we've made that aren't in videos yet. Winslow was the next puppet. And I'm currently working on like three more things for him.
Hell yeah.
He's got crazy ideas and it's pretty, I see where it's going and it's pretty incredible for a YouTube channel to kind of be dipping into this live action Pee-wee's Playhouse puppetry kind of thing. And yeah, I mean, it's like the dream person to work for because you're working with an artist, right? So he gets how sucky notes are and stuff because he's an artist. So he really just kind of like, you know, he'll text me in the middle of the night and be like, hey, I got this idea. Here's a drawing. What if it does this? What if it does that? What if it does this? And then he's just kind of like, all right, let's just do that.
Yeah.
And then I kind of just go at it. So like I have a piece right here on the computer now I'm working on for him. We were just talking yesterday about a really big piece. That'll be, I still haven't wrapped my brain around it because everything's getting more elaborate, but I like this one a lot. It's really interesting. And it's been kind of fun. Cause, this past job, like Onyx was all hand sculpted. It was the most like clay, fiberglass molds, you know, hand coring everything, which is basically establishing the thickness of the skins and the understructures, the skeletons that hold the mechanisms inside. And then the skins like sit over it like a head, like a mask, essentially. Materials, that one was all silicone because there's only a few materials to make this stuff out of. There's silicone, there's latex, which is a little bit, it's not really great. And then there's foam latex, which is what's like Jim Henson was, everything was foam latex, right? It's all squishy, it's very flesh-like.
Yeah.
But you have to bake it. So it's whole mixing like bread, you bake it in the oven, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So for Onyx, because of time and all this, we had made everything out of silicone, so everything weighed a ton. We did it all traditionally, sculpted, molded, you know, Abaddon was carved out of foam by hand, like styrofoam and stuff, you know, with rasps and hot knives and things.
Yeah.
And then we're slowly progressing to be like this film we're on now and like things like for Meat Canyon, we're starting to 3D print a lot of the elements or 3D print molds of things. For Winslow, his face was traditionally sculpted, but his arms and hand or his hands and his feet were 3D printed molds that we cast silicone out of. And this next one, this big one I'm working on for him, I think I want to start 3D printing everything and then making it out of foam latex skins because they will be much more organic, very lightweight, where silicone's way really heavy and way more expensive.
Yeah.
And I think it will just look a lot better. So we're also getting these jobs, I'm just kind of for funsies, like exploring different techniques on how to make this stuff, make it so my life is a little bit easier because I'm the lead sculptor on everything. And I'm a slow sculptor and I don't think I'm that good either. So when I'm sitting there with clay for a month, it's just a drag, you know, but, digitally I could blast stuff out. So like I got the printers going now and I'm playing with like printing cores and printing the full sculptures and printing molds of things. And that's been really fun. I really enjoy that. And, you know, with Meat Canyon, he wants fast turnaround. So it's also like, all right, I can't sit there and noodle a sculpture out of clay for a month and a half, you know.
Yeah.
I got to be able to blast stuff out. And while I'm sleeping, I have the printers going nonstop. So that's been kind of fun also exploring just like what's the easiest and most efficient way to get the best results in a timely manner at the shop. So we're also like, you know, Meat Canyon's been helping us develop how we kind of make the stuff a little bit easier.
Hell yeah.
Because in the end, I am an artist And I'm freaking nitpicky, so, and I like taking my time on things, so.
No, definitely. That's awesome, though, that I didn't know that you're doing so much for him. That's awesome to hear that you got some more coming up, too, because, like I said, I really enjoyed Winslow Puppet, and I just got into him recently. I didn't even, it was one of those that, like, I reached out to you and then found Meat Canyon by, like, just coincidence, and it just so happened that you
were. Really?
Yeah, because I like, you know, such, being such a horror fan, I was looking up, like, react videos to certain movies, and I think I watched him rank a movie. And then, like, I watched, like, some of his ranking videos. And then, like, he seems like a really likable slash just nice guy in general. Because my wife caught me watching just, like, him eating fucking frozen food dinners. And she was like, damn, I like this guy, too, you know. So we've been, like, watching more and more of them. But we, you know, of course, like, I ended up going back and watching the Winslow XP. And then I watched some of his animated videos and stuff as well. But, no,
anime stuff's incredible.
Yeah, no, so it's super cool that he's venturing into, like you said, all this type of stuff where he's almost like a Pee-wee's Playhouse type character almost.
Yeah, it's interesting. I still got to watch that one where it's him with actual like animated characters that he's interacting with, kind of Roger Rabbit style. That's really cool. But yeah, he's kind of, it seems like he's exploring like every different realm of like animation and puppetry and kind of like, you know, he has his own animated show, but he's also doing his live action stuff and his review stuff and things. I mean, talk about just a creative force, you know, really exploring everything. It's just really cool. He's hooking us up with opportunities to work with him because it's super fun.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm always just like, this is so much work. I got to figure out how to get help, you know.
Yeah.
In Colorado, there's only so much help.
Yeah,
that's what I'm learning, right? There's only a handful of people here who are like into the stuff and who are good, you know. So it's tricky. It's a lot of, it's tricky.
Oh yeah. Now and then, of course, you know, like you know, eventually everybody wants to, you know, be the leader too. So it's like eventually you like got to worry about losing people to that and this and that, like building their own chops and whatnot. So, but no, yeah. Hell yeah. Other than the Meat Canyon stuff, you know, do you have anything else in the works or, you know, anything coming up that you're working on that you want to shout out? And this episode will be dropping next month. So, of course, you know, feel free, if it's something you know, went and shout out till next month, you know, feel free to.
Yeah, next month. I mean, there's not really anything I could say. We're on our two more features right now.
Oh, yeah.
One is wrapping up this month. The other wraps up in 2 months from now. And that one is each movie I like to explore like I kind of have like a mental bucket list of jobs, right? I've always wanted to do cartoon zombies. I've always wanted to do a werewolf, right? I've always wanted to do a swamp creature, like a guy in a swamp creature suit.
Yeah.
Our last job checked off, I've always wanted to do my version of the Thing, body horror, like merging and stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of in, stepping away from the realm of my colorful, cartoony feel, but applying the caricature designs to horrific human anatomy and human merging, which is, I mean, obviously, I think, like everyone agrees, The Thing is the best practical effects, right? Rob Bottin's work on there is so gross and amazing. But if you look at Rob's style, everything he did was very cartoony and very stylized, right? Like the work he did on the Twilight Zone movie and stuff, right? He does a lot of cartoon shapes and cartoon characters. And I was really studying like what he did with the split face and the burnt mound of people and stuff from a sculptural standpoint. And it really is cartoony. It's some really comical designs.
Yeah.
So I was applying my aesthetic of that to my The Thing project, and that I'm really looking forward to sharing. Can't share that yet. And then this next project we're on now is my bucket list of, I don't know, Gremlins, a gnome named Norm.
Yeah, you
know? Kind of like my this is our main character hero animatronic, you know, puppet that speaks dialogue and is a leading character in a movie. So
yeah,
that's pretty incredible. And it's really amping up, you know, we're working with one of the best animatronics dudes in LA doing this one. And I think this one will, you know, every job I try to step up what the shop is capable of doing. So this one's really, this one will focus on, we are capable of doing you know, high-end animatronics, high-end puppetry that is on par with what the Henson Company could offer at quadruple the price, you know, essentially is what I'm trying to do with this shop. So hopefully it's stuff we could share sooner or later. I'm really excited to with the work we're doing, and I hope people like it. But, you know, it's all just to hopefully land more work. You know, it's kind of, it's a tough industry to be in. There's not a lot of work asking, not a lot of movies wanting practical effects. It's really the indie movies of directors who love practical effects who are like insisting on there being practical effects. And I'm finding that the directors have to put up a fight with producers and people saying, yeah, but it'd be so much easier if it was just a digital character. And they go, no, it has to be a practical puppet. It has to be a thing. There's an aesthetic to that that makes the movie better and it makes the audience like it better. So that's what I try to bring to the table, is show that that is a thing. I feel like the practical effects enhance a movie when CG is an option, and it is, I don't know, it might be cheaper, it might not be, I'm not even sure anymore. But, you know, I think people recognize it. I think people recognized it in Onyx, you know, the my favorite scene in that whole movie is the freaking box demon scene where he's talking about his, why his father left. Yeah. And being in that room while they were filming that, where you have the actor interacting with this creature, and you forget that there's three people inside of that thing underneath the table. And you just, you're like, look at this weird little thing talking to this guy, you know? And it was just like on screen, was being there in that room on that morning when we were filming it. And it was incredible. Oh. So that's worth doing the job and doing all this work for these effects, just to have those moments, I think, you know?
Oh yeah. No, I definitely get what you mean. It's like when people say like everything's in front of the camera, it's like sometimes, you know, it's also like that's what the naked eye sees, you know, like on set and stuff as well. It's not always, you know, like people always expect you to like be able to zoom out and see four people behind, you know, four people's butts up in the air, you know what I mean? But like you said, sometimes in able to make it work, you have to hide everybody like physically on, you know, like on the day and everything. So
Yeah. Like Abaddon was awesome because the puppeteers enclosed in it.
Yeah,
you could walk 360 and that guy is talking and looking around, you know, and you wouldn't even notice there's puppeteers, you know, in that thing or standing to the side. So it's just so much fun. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's really cool. The end result is the ultimate goal, right? Like I see you have the Blu-ray there. Yeah. And this is my, you know, that's my first, my name's, you know, it says Creature Kid on the back. My artwork is on the cover.
Yeah,
it's the craziest thing. I never thought that happened, especially being an employee who was kind of calling it quits, and now I got a box, a movie poster, you know, with my stuff on the front of it. So crazy. So that's worth the struggle of trying to make it work.
Yeah, and you guys got a theatrical release. I'm unfortunately missed the theatrical run, but you know, at least I got a short one for sure.
Yeah, that was really cool. The sound was incredible, hearing that in the theater and stuff. I took my mom for the theater screening, and she really dug it.
Yeah,
it was great. That was really cool. I guess just keep moving. Like, you know, we did our theatrical run, and Onyx is also available on was it Screenbox? What it is? You know, and then, you know, like we're slow. I'm slowly trying to work my way to figure out how to get like practical effects on like a Netflix movie, and then, you know, move my way up to eventually be like a Hollywood, you know, playing at every movie theater and streaming the same day kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
but I feel like practical effects and movies, you know, at this level will always be like a smaller run or something. I don't know, it's a very niche market.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's like you got Onyx, and then like I mentioned earlier on the, you know, I listened to your interview with the Do You Like Scary Movies podcast where you mentioned Psycho Gorman. That's another one that fit in with the, you know, using practical. Turbo Kid was another one that you stayed pretty practical. Oh, just stuff like that.
Yeah, both those movies are great. Yeah, I mean, I think that's where all the best movies are coming from, are like the independently made movies. You know, stuff incredible.
Even one that uses less, you know, effects, but still uses practical ones, are The Wolf of Snow Hollow. I love that film. And that was super fun.
Movie?
The Wolf of Snow Hollow. by Jim Cummings.
I've never heard of
that. It's a movie about, it's like a werewolf movie, but it's like the movie plays out like, is it a werewolf or is there a murderer and stuff like that? But it's pretty good for sure.
Wolf of Snow Hollow. I'll have to look that up. I love werewolf movies.
Hell yeah.
That, like I said, that's a bucket list, is to do a werewolf movie. I think it'd be so fun to do a werewolf suit. But I kept thinking, like, what's a new version of a werewolf that hasn't been done before, right? Like, American Werewolf was such a new design of a werewolf for the time. You know, that and The Howling, right?
Yeah.
Such practical effects-wise, the ultimate werewolf movies, the ultimate designs. But then, like, where do you go from there? Every werewolf since then, like Underworld and all those things, they're kind of just in the same realm of those.
Yeah. So,
like, what's a different take on a werewolf? I don't know.
Yeah.
Love to try to tackle that one.
It'd kind of be on like almost worth it to go back to the original Wolfman design, where it's like more man than like than werewolf type thing. Just
because... And then you go Monster Squad, and that one was a pretty cool werewolf. I mean, that was that looked like Wolfman, but they did like his like face is kind of out, like animatronic face.
Yeah.
You know, kind of look like Curse of the Werewolf with like the pointy ears. But that was a pretty great design. I really liked that. But maybe it's like a mix of like, what's like traditional Wolfman and how do you make it a little bit spook? Like, but I guess even like Rick Baker's Wolfman for the remake, the Beast Benicio del Toro one, right? That's like the original Wolfman turned up.
Yeah.
Where he's horrific and running around and eating people and stuff. But I don't know. Werewolves have been done so many times. It's hard to try to think of like, okay, what's one where everyone would be like, this is incredible. I've never seen a werewolf like this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I definitely know what you mean. Without turning it up to 11 and making it an action film at that point, which like kind of like the Underworld films did, but but shit, we need to hit up Empire Pictures. Just saw in between jumping on this meeting that they're planning a new Ghoulies trilogy. We need to let them know that you guys.
That's cool.
I was going to say, if they don't do that practical, I'm not fucking watching it. That's pretty.
No, I do love the Ghoulies. That's true. That was, yeah. I mean, all we do in the shop while we work, I have a VHS player and we just watch all the practical effects movies. And then I like tell them how they did it. I'm like, look how they did this. Or I'm like, how do you guys think they did that? Because I can't figure it out, you know, stuff that. But that's all we don't listen to the radio here. We just only put on movies. And then it's fun because everyone like hits thrift stores and like every week people show up with movies that they bought to watch. So it makes it a little bit more fun. It is a movie studio.
Oh yeah. Comes almost like a scavenger hunt when you're looking for like hidden gems and shit. Like, oh, I found Deadly Spawn this week.
I know things like that. I had to buy the thing on eBay because I can't, you never run across that one. And I was like, you got to have that on VHS.
Yeah, that's one that as soon as VHS has became popular again, I'm sure everybody went out and bought every copy they could to resell.
There's still some ones. I went and visited a friend out in London, like I don't know, a year or so ago, and he had the original like band releases of the first Evil Dead, like because it was like released there first before the US, right?
Yeah,
it was incredible, and he was like showing me, it was incredible. It's the coolest thing. It's like photocopy paper, you know, for the box cover and stuff. So awesome.
Yeah. And then the shout out for the final time, I'll shout out Do You Like Scary Movies podcast. I heard you mention that, you know, of course you got into the Universal Monsters and a Creature from Black Lagoon, which is obviously is the best of them all. And of course your brother getting you into Monster Squad. Say that that's up there with your favorite horror movies of all time? Or do you have a favorite that, you know, sticks up there, as well as, you know, if you want to shout out any others that you have?
I mean, I love them all. I would say Cloverfield. I was working at an AMC when that movie came out. So that one, like, and that one was the one where I was like, I want to work in movies when that movie came out, because it was just so, I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So that one is probably like is up there. You know, The Thing, Labyrinth, Monster Squad's a big one. That's up there. You know, Ghostbusters. I mean, I would say the most traditional, like practical effects ones that you could think of are my favorites. Not a big gore fan. I mean, I'd say The Thing and like Alien is the most gory I'm into. Well, I guess Evil Dead. Yeah. But I even like the first Evil Dead, it's so horrific and like I love it for what it is. but I really enjoy Army of Darkness more than the other two.
Hell yeah.
Because it is, the gore is comedic, it's slapsticky, and I definitely find myself more into like kid friendly horror essentially versus like the gore horror, or like the horrific stuff.
Yeah.
At least what I like making and what I want my shop to produce is more of the kid friendly or fantasy fantastical things rather than like body parts and intestines blowing up everywhere. I feel like there's enough shops that can do gore.
Yeah. You know?
Not a lot can do the fantasy, which I think Army of Darkness really nailed. Like it's horror, but then like the demons are so like kind of like fantasy, and like the skeletons kind of like the Harryhausen style skeletons that are like bonking each other on the head and stuff. Like it's so weird. I think Army of Darkness is definitely one of my favorite movies for sure. I'm looking at my movie collection now trying to think, but yeah, I mean, you know, I'd say I love everything that everyone else loves.
Yeah.
Nothing weird, I'd say. I think Cloverfield is the weirdest one because I think a lot of people think that movie sucks.
Yeah. Or they only think about it when they're like throwing out the found footage films, like when it comes to actual favorites. But I'm with you. It's one of the best films. Like I remember seeing it when I was in high school and stuff like that and just being blown away by it, you know, because found footage had always been done, but not with like these big monsters and shit like that. So it was just,
yeah,
it was very cool to see like Godzilla pretty much meets Blair Witch, you know what I mean? Because
that's the thing. I just remember how I felt when the trailer came out, when there was like no title. You just hear a monster roar and there's a scene and I was just like, what is this? And I remember just my imagination going wild on what would this thing look like. And I just thought it was such a cool way to promote a movie by making the audience use their imagination. I've never seen something done like that before.
Yeah.
It just stuck with me. That one really stuck with me.
Hell yeah. Now I'm excited that they're finally supposed to do a true sequel to it instead of all these like kind of half-ass sequels or whatever.
Oh, what a weird move they were doing with that. I don't know.
Yeah, they keep announcing it, but then it's like it's kind of like 20 years later, it's like every few months they make the same announcement and everybody gets the same excited about it, and I'm like, they just keep making the same announcement every 6 months. It's like when the movie actually starts getting some trailers out, I'll be excited, I guess. But
yeah.
But oh yeah, but no, those are and I'm with you. Army of Darkness is like, I got Sam Raimi to sign Evil Dead 2, but I was so torn between that or Army of Darkness because it's one of those that whichever one I watch more recently is my favorite of that franchise, because I love Army of Darkness. It's so fun. It's the only one I rewatched before going to see Evil Dead Rise, just because I was like, I've seen the other ones 100 times and I was like, I just want to watch Army of Darkness again. Because
yeah, there's this specific cut. Like there's it's like the weird, it's not like the director's cut, it's like the ultimate cut or whatever.
Yeah.
Where there's scenes in it that weren't in there. And if I don't watch that version, it feels off. Cause there's so much added, like when he's splitting, like evil ash is growing out of him. There's like a whole stop motion scene in a miniature forest where he's like running. Like
yeah.
His little puppets running. It's the coolest thing ever. So yeah, I'm really specific about that movie. I really, like, I've dissected that movie a ton. I love that movie. And that's why I did a Kickstarter to do my own short film, Jungle of Darkness, which is my, it's basically, I want to do like a 10, 15 minute short film of if Sam Raimi had done a horror slapstick island adventure, you know, 1930s jungle adventure, you know, film, what is a little taste of that? What's a haunted jungle look like? What do talking shrunken heads look like? You know, what's that kind of like? I feel like that's untapped. You know, like the Army of Darkness genre, where that was like medieval slapstick, but demons and things. You know, what's the 1930s version of that? I've never seen before. So that was just, I wanted to do like a little taste of like, here's what that could look like, that what it could look like. Here's a little shtick with an adventurer and some creatures and like a big set, you know. Yeah. I always love the scene where Bruce is in the cemetery and there's the three books and he's like trying to figure out which one it is. And you could tell it's just like on a sound stage and there's like cool hills and like forced perspective headstones and stuff.
Yeah,
I just love the feel of like a little stage, you know, with a performer doing a shtick, and there's like a little comedy routine going on. So that's something in between the films we're finishing up, I chip away at slowly.
Hell yeah. No, definitely can't wait to see that for sure. And I saw in the teaser, is Daniel Roebuck going to be the actor in the short itself as well? I know that you and Daniel Roebuck go back for quite a bit. So.
Yeah, Danny's one of my best friends, and he's playing our adventurer, Professor Sheridan.
Hell yeah.
I want to build the sets. I want to film it all in the shop. And we have, you know, big tables that roll around and stuff, but right now they're piled with the jobs we have now. Yeah. So it's kind of like trying to figure out the balance of, all right, when's the window between jobs where we can move everything, build a jungle, shoot a whole scene in there, and then tear it down and go back to work, you know,
yeah.
Trying to figure that out. So
hell it's yeah.
mainly logistics stuff that's keeping it from happening sooner. But, thankfully, everyone who's donated and stuff has been really cool and just excited to see what comes of it.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Hell yeah. No, definitely keep an eye out for that, as well as like all the other stuff that, you know, like you said, the movies that you can't really announce, you know, exactly what yet and stuff. For all that on the socials and share it around when it comes out for sure. Cause I'm excited about it personally myself. Cause
yeah, me too. Just cause I need more work.
Hell yeah.
I think people seeing what we could do, you know, what we've done so far will really like get people hyped up on practical effects again, you know. It's kind of what the goal is.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's got like we mentioned earlier with the Psycho Gorman crew, like I know it's not just Kostanski, but it's like the whole crew that did the, you know, they also did The Boy together and shit like that. But no, it's like between you guys and them, it's like nice to see some up and coming, you know, practical effects groups doing it. Not like I know I heard you mention in that other podcast that again I've mentioned again, I guess, but that you kind of, you know, it's one thing that when they get the practical movies, you know, the little bit of practical effects we get, they just like to rehash the same people. So it's kind of just like the same type of stuff. It's nice to have some originality in the stuff coming up, you know. And
like, I was really interested in that imaginary movie that's like out now or something.
Yeah.
I saw Spectral Motion did some practical stuff for that. And I saw in some of the teasers a really cool bear monster, like a monster. Yeah. teddy bear thing that looked really interesting, and then I started seeing a bit more like it's imaginary friends gone wild essentially with very interesting looking practical stuff. So I'm waiting for that to be on streaming or something so I can watch it and like pause it and see exactly what was built for that. But that looked like an interesting, I haven't been hearing great things about the movie, but
yeah,
you know, if there's a cool practical effect, I'll go see it, you know, just to see what was done.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%.
Curious about that one.
Hell yeah. No, definitely. That's one that I kind of want to see myself, just because that same thing in the trailer, the stuff that teases like the bear and then, you know, the fantasy world that they supposedly enter, it seems pretty cool.
Yeah, there's like a weird kind of labyrinthy looking world. And I was like, this seems cooler than I was thinking.
Yeah.
I am really interested in that one.
I agree. I think Jeff Wadlow did that. I think the only thing that throws me off with him is he also did Truth or Dare, and that movie was just not for me. You know what I mean?
So, I don't remember that one.
That was the one with all the smiles. Not smile, obviously, but that was the one where they like would smile real big and then like kill themselves or whatever. Or like,
oh.
It was like they had to do the Truth or Dare, and if they didn't do it, they would like smile and then die or whatever. But it was okay. But go into the final question that I have for you, and you know, I like to ask all my guests, is just, you know, do you have a horror story of your own? And you know, it could be from a day gone wrong on set somewhere, or it could be, you know, just a personal horror story of your own if you have one that you'd like to share.
Nothing on set that's gone bad. Usually on set everything's pretty smooth.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really have any horror stories. I don't know. I mean, I just go making Onyx was a nightmare for me because it was something I've never done before. And the build was not fun. That was the worst. I think that was, even my friends and family were all concerned. It was pretty rough on me. I've never actually been like, I've never worked to exhaustion before. And that one did it. And that was probably it was the worst I've ever felt. It was the worst. And, it's kind of nice seeing the final outcome and seeing like what all that was done for. And that's the whole point of doing all this stuff is that, like, I don't know, I'm sure there's lots of practical effects dudes or just artists in general who enjoy the process.
Yeah.
I hate the process. It's miserable. It's like pulling teeth for me. I'm always stressed out. I always avoid working. Like sitting down and sculpting is the worst thing, because you have to live in your head, and that's the most horrific place ever.
Yeah.
So like the process is terrible, but Onyx, the movie, like seeing it there, having it on a hard copy and being able to watch it. And also like the bonus features, like there's an hour long video that we put together here in the shop, and that's the bonus content. And seeing that, you know, it just, it's, you know, it makes it worthwhile to hate your life for a year, mm-hmm. essentially, because you go, well, look at that. That's a great scene. That's a great creature, you know, or like people were posting like on social media and stuff, like them filming it in the theaters and like seeing the demon for the first time and hearing reactions of people going, whoa, what the heck is that thing? Right. That's wonderful. That's what I do it for. And, you know, every time I get a job, I'm like, this sucks. I have to go through that again. And it's scary and I hate it. But I have to like trick myself into thinking like, how cool is it going to be when I finally see this thing done?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and try to find people who can help me who do enjoy the process. Because I'm sure there's plenty, you know, there's a lot of people who love the process because they haven't been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But Onyx was rough. Onyx was a tough one. I kind of got it down to where I kind of know the steps and like how to budget. So I know how to like finish a job and get it done and like, you know the steps I have to do. So it's not as bad. But as my first movie, like I understand now why Rob Bottin quit, right? And why, you know, you hear the horror stories of him sleeping on set and building these puppets and stuff and him having like him crashing and stuff because of that movie, the amount of effects he did. And what, he was like 22 or 23 doing that, which is insane. I mean, I was like 30, 29, 30 doing Onyx or whatever. So, but I try to think like if I was a kid doing a movie as big as The Thing with freaking John Carpenter sitting there going like, why is this not working? What's going on with this puppet? Right. Yeah. The amount of gags in that, I totally get why, you know, he picked up and walked away, you know, but he did the best werewolf, the best, you know, The Thing, legend, the best devil in a movie, right? He did the best he could do in every project. And then he was like, all right, I'm done. That's enough of that. And I think that's what makes him the best creature effects artist out there, right? He's so good and he's walked away. So I'm still checking off my list. I did my thing. I did my little kind of, you know, my little animatronic creature. I got a couple more, and then I just want to disappear and pull a Rob Bottin. And then everyone's like, where'd he go? That sounds awesome.
Right. He got out before he got to see any of his work blanketed with CGI. So that was
dude, right? Nice. I know. But now I just love that he's like this mysterious, where is he? Right. It's the coolest thing. It's so smart.
Yeah, the rumor is always that he's selling real estate somewhere in California. That's what they
always say. Weird rumors. There's always weird rumors. And it's like Bigfoot. Like a friend of mine's like, I saw him once at a restaurant. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Like out of all people, like Rob Bottin is somebody you'd recognize after what, 20 years of
picture. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing. It's the coolest move. That's my goal is to be a Rob Bottin and disappear and hope that my stuff would live on to be like, what happened to the guy who did the Onyx movie? Where, you know, I love that stuff. There's toys of it everywhere. Where'd he go? Right. That'd be sweet. I don't know if it ever will be, right? It's hard to imagine, you know, what a movie that we did these creatures for, what that will be in 20 years or 30 years, right? Will it become a cult classic as big as, you know, Killer Clowns or Army of Darkness or something? You know, who knows?
Or Monster Squad, yeah.
Yeah, right? Talk about a cult classic buildup over time.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah.
No, and then your movie definitely, and that's the one thing is, like, it's got, like, you know, some cuss words and stuff, I guess, in it. But other than that, it's pretty good for gateway, too. So it's definitely could be one that people talk about in 20 years is, like, this got me into horror movies, you know? So, like, I listen to Forever Midnight podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but One of them was talking about how they took their kid to see it, you know, not really knowing anything, but just took them to the theaters because it was didn't seem, you know, it didn't have like nudity in the description or anything, and you know, they absolutely left loving it, and you know, they couldn't wait to buy it and you know, watch it on Screenbox and this and that, so.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's why I do this. It's, you know, the whole thing is you want to inspire kids to, like, you know, just like we were watching Labyrinth, or Ghostbusters, like, how did they do this? How is that ghost flying around? Look at the giant marshmallow man, right? It's the coolest thing ever. So, you know, I try to get as much out there and you know, to inspire other people to do it or something. I don't know.
Hell yeah. No, definitely. Like I said, one day I'll, you know, maybe somebody will be doing an interview like this and they'll say, you know, how'd you get into sculpturing? And they'll be like, I watched Onyx the Fortuitous, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah,
So,
right.
hey, you never
Yeah,
know, man.
you
Definitely
never know.
each possibility. So,
That's true.
hell yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you for coming on the show. It was fun chatting with you. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to your future work. And, you know, like I said, I subscribe to Meat Canyon. So I'll definitely see what you guys do together coming up for sure.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you talking to me, man.
And as usual, I just want to say thanks again for listening and make sure you check back next week. As on Tuesday, I'll be dropping a Tiny Terror episode. I'm not sure yet what movie or if it'll be me or Ren hosting it, but just keep an eye out for it or on the socials for all updates on that. And then next Thursday, we'll be dropping our monthly roundtable episode. And this time around, we'll be talking about the classic film, The Warriors. So check back next week for both of those. Go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you could do so by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you'd like to sign up for the Patreon, it is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. Thank you guys again so much for listening and stay safe.